You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Walter Stedding. Walter, thanks so much for being with me.
Hello, Brainerd.
There's a lot of things we could talk about. You have a pretty incredible history and are an artist that's worked in many mediums, from acting, writing, filmmaking, painting, music, you know, all kinds of things. And of course, the amazing people that you've worked with, like Warhol and others, which we should get to. But what are you working on right now? What's occupying your creative world at the moment?
Well, I've found a way to make castings. I wanted something that was instant, as close to instant as I could get. And everything required long drying times, days of plaster settling. But I found a way to use the plaster and then add a solvent to it, and it turns into like plastic almost, instantly. And so I'm going to...
And how does that work? So explain that. Is that a kind of a...
Well, it's just regular casting plaster. But when
casting
I had
plastic,
a solvent...
Yeah, explain that, because I've never used it. I know there's kinds you mold, right, like Sculpey or others, but is this you pour this into a mold, or are you molding it first? How does that work?
In order to have it instant as much as possible, I use aluminum foil, and then I put the aluminum foil either on a mold, like a store mannequin would work. And I've used some outdoor sculptures to just put the aluminum foil on. Then I get an image when I press the foil to that sculpture. And then I just paint on that plaster in the back of it. And then apply the solvent, and instantly it turns hard like plastic. And then I paint them. So it also has that effect when I paint them. There are painted shadows, and then there's the actual shadow. So it gets blurred which one is which.
So what are you? So you're doing this in your studio in the city? Where are you exactly working on these?
In Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
And is it a kind of a bit of a toxic process? Is there's melting?
No, not at all. Oh, just water based materials.
All water based. And so, what are some of the kind of imagery that you're creating with that right now? What are you casting?
Well, the faces are just sort of blank, and I can make them what I want to. So right now, I'm painting a ship captain.
And how is that done? That's cast over like a mannequin head, or how does that work?
In this case, it was my head.
So tell me about
how
that.
Many
it's
people.
Exciting. Were... How did you cast your own head that way?
Just with the aluminum foil. And it's not easy to get other people to have me put aluminum foil over their face, but that's what I did here. I took a piece of aluminum foil, and I pressed it onto my face, then brushed on the plaster behind it, and then I have this sculpture.
And how long is it? Oh, it doesn't take that long to set that way.
No, not at all. It sets almost instantly.
So why are people afraid to get it on their face? Because it sounds like you've asked people and they've resisted.
Just the aluminum foil part. I have to press it onto their face so I get
the right impression.
Yes.
So tell me about that. That's a pretty interesting, in a sense, self-portrait, right? This is. I mean, it could be just a sea captain, or it is yourself as sea captain.
They're a bit abstract, and I want them that way. Some of them have a very rough surface, and I don't want them to have that fabricated look. It's handmade, in a sense. It's an artist's work.
And so how does that feel? This is a new direction for you.
Maybe the past 4 months, I have. I'm going to look here. I have about 15 done already. I found a baby doll on the street. It felt strange carrying it at home, but I used that as the mold. So I have baby dolls and all different faces.
And what will happen with all of these? So you're building a body of work. It sounds like a whole exhibit there.
I'm having a show at Howl. That's that art organization. It's called the Howl Gallery.
Yeah, it's a great nonprofit in the East Village, right? Art space.
Yes, and so I'm having an exhibition, and I'll have those heads. I call them 3D heads. And I have paintings.
And tell me about the paintings. So what paintings will be shown to that? That will also be in the show, the paintings?
Yes. I'm going to take them over to the gallery on Thursday because I've been working on them in a small space. And I'm afraid, even though they're large in my apartments where I paint, they may look like a postage stamp in a large gallery. So I'm just going to take them there and see what they look like as far as size goes.
Tell me a little bit about the paintings. How are those approached? What's the content in the paintings? Or are they abstract?
No. As far as realism goes, when I worked with Andy Warhol, I was painting portraits then, and he was doing his photos printed. And he said, you're a real artist, Walter. And so that's what I consider myself. I'm not a realistic artist. I'm not photorealistic. I'm interested in what is realism, but I'm a real artist. So it's still a little early maybe for realism to be in the art world. But these are paintings. One is called The Temple Boy. And he's standing inside of the two pillars, Boaz and Yakim. You see them all over Yale. The Age of Society and the Skull and Bones building. It's those two pillars. See them in all Masonic works. So those refer to the Temple of Jerusalem. They always have that. And that's their name. So it's a boy holding something. And it's, I'd say, about 8 feet by 6 feet. And then a similar painting is, it's the fall of Boaz, one of the pillars, with a panicky group of people, four people. And so they have that similar theme. I wrote a song about that even, Build the Temple, it's called The Promise.
And tell me about that song, because that kind of brings that together nicely, that narrative there. So the song you wrote about that is what? Can you tell me a little bit about that song? Because then it's about the temple,
just,
right?
Yes, it says, build the temple, he's on his knees. It's a real rock and roll song. I'm going into the recording studio in December and should be finished by the end of December.
With a new album?
With a new album. When I played not too long ago at the Museum of Modern Art, and I did a 15-minute performance, just music. And I used looping devices to get an orchestral effect. But I love popular music. That's sort of our haiku. It's just there are maybe five at the most formulas that popular songwriters use, 1, 4, 5 like that. But it's the subtlety that you add to a song. And like the haiku, it's been around for a long time, and it's always the same pattern or similar, and so it is with popular music. But it's what you do with it. So I like writing pop songs also, besides a more classical understanding of music.
So that's exciting. And, of course, you've always looked forward to that. And there will be links in here to where people can find out about your album and the show and Howl and more. But so they can listen to your music, because we could really talk for hours about all the different things you've done. But going through sculpture and music and painting, you know, I want to wish you luck on the show. There'll be and I hope all the listeners will come to the show at Howl. But also I want to go back to your beginnings, which, of course, is – stands out, meeting Warhol shooting your first kind of music video, producing it, and all the kind of luminaries you met along the way and I imagine are still surrounded with. But to go back to those early times, as I was researching you and thinking about all this, I realized, like, even in that first film, there was video drag queens, and there's this whole kind of queer scene there, right, at the factory, that's not really talked about like that, I wanted to talk about that a little bit in the context of it today. You know, we read lots about Warhol and everything, but not so much so clearly the way it would be now, for example, in 2020, if how queerness is contextualized now. We're in a different world. We're thinking about it differently. There's all these different ways of presenting yourself and all different, you know, rights that are afforded. But then it was a little more, I mean, underground may be a cliched word, but I'm just kind of interested into your insights then, because here you were, this, like, you know, beautiful boy, part of the whole scene there, and it was also a drag scene. How does that differ from now? Because you know what's happening now, too.
Well, one thing is he didn't have a computer. He did everything with typewriters, had someone type it. He'd speak into a tape recorder, and someone would type it. I can only imagine how it would be if he had access to the computers and the internet of today.
Right.
So that's a whole different world that has emerged. And
right.
You're right. It does contextualize everything.
Well, but also the gay scene is what I'm asking about. The sort of queer scene there also contextualizes everything, right? That's very different today. We're post-Stonewall, you know, having anniversaries. We're in a whole different state of rights. Then it was quite different what was being expressed and celebrated, wasn't it?
It was. You see a lot more leather back then that you don't see today.
That's right. So to talk a little bit about that scene before we go, you were obviously brought to the factory at a pretty young age, and that helped nurture so much of who you are today. And to guess, just have a vignette from then, is there anything that stands out that you want to mention about your time at the factory or with Warhol or all anybody else that you met there, a notable story that pops to mind?
Warhol was a workaholic. And even if the Shah, after he left Iran, Andy would be in the back room working. And that's something I did. I'd be the person to go out and talk to the Shah. And I would have to go back and tell Andy that they're leaving. He should at least come out and say hello. Things like that. It was great to work with him all the time. Just alone. Always working.
I
worked with a lot of people. Anyone who would come by, they would have lunches for interview or subjects for Andy to paint. He told me, don't do what I'm doing. Just paint your friends. And he said, I wish I had painted my friends. by getting commissions or something from people he didn't know. He didn't paint his friends. I think he thought it would be, it wouldn't be his art because he wasn't known for painting his friends, and he had to keep doing the same thing.
Right. Huh. Well, I want to thank you for talking with me today, Walter, and I want to wish you well on your upcoming show at Howl and your album and the sculptures and paintings that you're producing. I really look forward to seeing that, and I hope all the listeners will follow the links and come as well. I want to ask you one more thing, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
Right now I'm reading old books, Adventures of Merchants Going to China in the early 19th century, which brings me to Brainerd, and, well, both names. That was the founder of Rush Medical College. Is that correct? Is that your namesake?
It's not my namesake, but that's what you found out through this book? Is that as a last name?
Yeah,
like
Daniel
Joe Brainerd.
Yeah.
Right. Namesake.
He was able to do the fastest amputation until that time. He founded the medical college.
Wow.
That and so the related materials. What was it like then, for instance, is the people who could afford letters and all that, they would write to their children about how they have to do good works to welcome the new wave of immigrants coming into our country. And it's good to get a different view. You only figure it out by the time you're ready to leave. So you can't do it on your own. You have to gather knowledge from all the different sources that you can. And even an artist needs to know something about the discount rate.
Thank you. Thank you, Walter, for talking with me today, and I wish you well on your upcoming show and album.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.